back to A Court of Coffee and Books podcast. This is episode 2. I'm Chelsea.
I'm Alicia. And today we are going to be talking about Love and Lattes. So this was a book that I saw and randomly grabbed and then talked Chelsea into reading it. Mm-hmm. And we have regrets.
Yeah, it was a rough one.
Yeah, it wasn't our best, but here.
I had high hopes for it, too.
I did, too. I was like, okay, cute premise. Love that.
Yeah.
And then it just kind of went downhill from the back cover.
Yeah. We both gave it 2 out of 5 stars.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Which is, we're pretty generous with our
usually our ratings, we are.
So,
yeah.
I feel like even 2 stars is a little bit generous.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I'm going to be honest, I don't really have many good things to say about it, if any.
The premise was good.
Yeah, I feel like the idea was there.
Yes,
it was not executed well.
Yeah, I would agree wholeheartedly.
I also think that having a book called Love and Lattes where you literally have them drinking lattes once,
I like also coffee? Had that problem. They drank tea.
Yeah.
All the time.
Or hot chocolate. I know it's based in London.
Yes.
So, like, I understand, like, they're bigger tea drinkers
for
there,
sure.
But if you're having it called Love and Lattes, like, have him write, like, cute little messages on the latte cup and bring it to her.
Thank you. Thank you.
Like, have it involved somehow where it's, like, part of the plot.
That was what I was expecting.
Yeah.
And I just was let down. Yeah. Constantly, because every time that she was like, I'm gonna go get a fresh cup, it was of tea.
Yeah,
like, don't get me wrong, we're big tea drinkers.
Yeah, we're right sitting here drinking tea,
right? We love tea. However, if you're calling it a latte,
right? Because the whole reason we even decided to read this book for book club,
right,
our podcast, is because it's a court of coffee and books,
right? So figured we'd stick with the coffee theme,
and it's February, so love and lattes is...
right, that was my whole thought process and behind it's... getting this book in the first place, right. And then I was just severely let down.
Yeah. I will say the kissing booth, I'm gonna really date myself here, I read it on Wattpad.
Whoa.
Like, when it was being updated.
You say this, first off, you say this like I'm not older than you. So, I mean.
So.
You're aging us both.
I know. I'm sorry. And I really liked it then. I mean, I was, like, 13 at the time. Like,
that yeah.
was, you know. Teenager, preteen.
This would have been great around that time. We yes. probably would have liked it better. I think probably. I still would have been confused by some of the language in here because I was confused now.
Yeah. I think my main problem, not main problem, but like one of the bigger problems about the writing that I found is that it did feel like a Wattpad book. It did not yes. feel like she
had an editor.
That, because I have one yellow tab on here, which is a spelling error.
I highlighted it. I didn't put a tab, but I did highlight it. Because I was like, excuse me?
As somebody who works in quality and literally tabs all day long, I was like, I have to. Like, I can't not. Like, make me be your editor, Beth. Because somebody's slacking.
Yeah.
I know it's one spelling error, like...
But still, I was just looking to see who the publishing house was. Delacorte Romance?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you just step up your game. Just, like, a little bit.
Just a tad. Just, like, one letter.
Yeah.
But I will say, like, I felt that her writing was still very childish. It was very young.
Yes.
It did not feel like she has grown as an author from the Wattpad days.
I can agree with that.
And I know you said you didn't read the book, but you watched the movies for The Kissing Booth.
Yes.
And I've seen them too. I think a lot of people have.
Yeah.
And they are very corny, cheesy, like
100%. I feel like they're made to be,
they're like good,
corny,
bad.
Cheesy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like they're meant to be like almost bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the secondhand embarrassment I felt watching that movie, even though
it's
I enjoyed
so
it
bad,
I enjoyed it because like I knew what I was going into.
Right.
But, like...
like, I knew it wasn't going to be, like, this great cinematic masterpiece right. going in.
It wasn't going to be, like, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. Or, right. like, you know, these classic rom-coms.
Right.
But this book gave me the same, like...
secondhand ick.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, I can agree with that.
It was a struggle from... Page one, I opened it and I was like, oh, they're mentioning Harry Styles. This is going to be the best freaking book of my life.
I sent you the picture of page one and yes. I was like, okay, there's Harry Styles and Olivia Rodrigo. Mm-hmm. I was like, this is probably, you know, fairly up to date.
Yeah.
Good references.
Yeah.
And that's where it ended.
You know what? I should have known because she didn't even know what Harry Styles song it was.
Okay, that's valid. It was Watermelon Sugar. Let's be very real here.
Probably.
In a club, for sure.
Well, that's like, yeah, one of his more upbeat songs.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
Every other song is depressing.
Facts. We love you, Harry, but very depressing. Okay, that's the second time we've talked about One Direction on this podcast.
Oh, it's not going to end.
Okay, cool. Glad for that.
I sneak them into my everyday conversation.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I know you feel the same way. The main character, Annalise Sherwood, absolutely insufferable.
Okay, so bad.
I took notes. The first thing I wrote on here, first impression of Anna, she's rude.
Facts.
She's rude.
She was, what was it, cold and unlikable?
Yeah, cold and unlikable, which is, if you guys haven't read the book, which
good for you.
I don't blame you.
Just take this all yeah. in and don't bother reading it.
Yeah. She complains the entire time that people see her as cold and unlikable. And yes, they do, because that's what you are, honey.
Yeah, she pushes away anybody who tries to care about her. She pushes away her friends. Mm-hmm. She pushes away this guy who likes her and that's trying to, like, treat her well. She pushes away her family.
Yeah. And I feel like there's a line of where people are actually cold and unlikable and where people can be portrayed as that.
For sure.
I think... Deep End by Allie Hazelwood, mm-hmm. they do a really good job of showing how somebody can be portrayed as cold and unlikable when they're not.
Correct.
She is. Anna yes. was.
Yeah.
Really, she was just rude and...
self-centered.
She, yeah.
And very everything selfish. Was like... It was
only about her.
Yep.
She very much was like, I don't want to do these things because my mom did them and I don't want to become like my mom, but then did all the things that
her mom did.
Yeah.
Everything was about work, just like her mother.
Yep.
And like, trust me, I understand like people are going to have PTSD when it comes to like parents and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But to base your entire life and all of your adult decisions about not being your mom.
Not to mention these people are 19 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Why did I think that the entire time they were like 26 working in like these fancy corporate jobs? Like they're 19.
They're all interns from yeah. college and this is their summer break. Sorry, university.
Which was another thing is I felt like college is very much like an American word. Like a lot of people I felt like called it uni.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know.
That was some disconnects there.
Yeah, but she's from the UK.
Is she?
Yeah.
Well, I'm even more confused.
I'm pretty sure.
I don't know.
I'm like 99.9% sure she's from the UK.
I mean, it would make sense.
Yeah.
But yeah. Well, I don't know. Would it? Because then the kissing booth would have been the snogging booth. I don't know, man.
Oh. The first tab I have in here.
Oh, I'm ready.
Is okay. There's a passage in here. The first sentence of it is Nadia winks, which looks totally menacing. And there's a. I can't read. I gotta take the. There's a polite ripple of laughter. How do you wink menacingly?
don't know.
Like, I was trying to, like, genuinely sit there and figure it out because I did want to give this book, like, a fair shot. But, like...
Yeah. How do you wink menacingly? If somebody can tell us, that would be great.
Yeah, please send us a video submission
so that we can see it. We'll put you on our next podcast. This is what it means to wink menacingly.
Answer.
There was, I had like a few places that like I highlighted because I felt like she was like relatable in those moments. And like people who know me personally, and some of you I know will listen to this. So, hey, work tends to run my life. So there was definitely things that I felt like I definitely connected with her on. And then they went out the window shortly thereafter. So, like, there was one passage, and this is one of the first ones that I highlighted. It's just that there are bigger, more important things to focus on, that this time in my life feels so make or break, and I can't let myself miss out. Which would I regret more, missing a night out or missing out on an opportunity that could change the trajectory of my future career, potentially my whole life for the better? It's a no-brainer.
Right.
And I've always felt like that. I'm always more the person that's going to focus on work. And you and I are very much like that.
Both of us are definitely workaholics. And I think we definitely feel the same way. Like,
yeah,
if this is an opportunity for something better, I don't want to miss it.
Right. I'm always going to focus more on work than I am to, like, my social life.
Mm-hmm.
My social life does not really exist. Like, I hang out
with
you.
You are my social life.
Yeah, I was going to say, I hang out with you and I live with my fiance. So
my mom and you.
Right. Like, we are each other's social life. So, like, but I feel like, even us, like, if work came first to one of us, like, we understand because of who we are.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was 19, I almost had, like, they were almost even where, like, I wanted to have a social life more. Yeah. And I was still a workaholic, but it was different because my position wasn't as, like, serious as mine technically is now.
I worked at Payless when I was 19.
I was going to say, I worked at a nonprofit when I was 19. Yeah. It was, like, I moved to
very different.
Yeah. Like, I moved here and started getting more serious positions, but, like, I don't know. It's just crazy to think that somebody at 19 is so concerned about their, like,
how it's going to affect them.
Yeah. How every single 30 move years that they make.
Now. Yeah. And, like, I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing.
No,
I
not
think
at
that's
all.
It's a good thing to be aware of, like, the choices that you make and how Agreed. It's going to affect you. But I think she definitely let it control her in a way that if she didn't stop and she woke up in 30 years and looked back and was like, well, what have I been doing all this time?
She's going to have nothing to show for it other than no family, no friends.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to sit there and you're going to be working for 12, 14 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
No one wants to be doing that when they're 50. No one wants to be doing that now.
Nope. I definitely don't. No. I definitely didn't want to do that as a 19-year-old.
No. Like, don't get me wrong. Do I work those hours sometimes? Yes. But it's different. I have a career. Like, you know? I don't know. It's just crazy. So, like, there was some things that, like, I do think that the writing was good to point out, like, how work can overtake your life if you're not careful.
Yeah.
And you will miss out on things. I don't know if that was, like, meant to be part of, like, the lesson of the book.
Yeah.
But I almost took it as, like, maybe I need to maybe reevaluate things a little bit because I do spend a lot of my time working.
Yeah. I think with this being such a work-heavy related book, I felt like that's part of the reason I couldn't get into it because when I'm picking up a book to read, I don't want to be reading about Outlook and Teams and, like, all these things.
There were VLOOKUPs in here and I do them all the time for work and I was crying on the inside.
I was like, please stop talking about Excel.
Like, literally.
Anxiety.
Yeah, I want to escape when I'm reading a book. Like, I don't want to then think about and compare it to my own life. Right. Like,
and I think that
if I did, I would read nonfiction.
I think there are good ways to do an office romance without 100%. People feel like they are sitting at the computer doing that job with
you. Yes. I think that was definitely where I struggled a bit. And, like, I would have to pause when it got really heavy into, like, the work stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It just was taking over and was difficult for me to separate.
Yeah. I also think, thank you. when they introduced Lloyd, first of all I could think about every single time they said his name was Lloyd's taco truck.
If you're not from Buffalo, you will not understand this, but there's
it's Lloyd's a restaurant that has a taco truck, and the restaurant is called Lloyd's.
Yes.
And it's very well known around Buffalo and Western New York, mm-hmm. Where we're from. So it's literally every single time I read it, I was like, thank you. Because she started calling him by his last name, which was Fletcher, which I felt like was more digestible for me because.
Okay. Maybe it's because I didn't grow up here.
Maybe.
Like, I don't, when I think of Lloyd, like, I think of like, I don't know. I guess I don't really think of anything.
I mean, that's all I could think about every single time I read his name.
I also don't love Lloyd's.
I don't love Lloyd's either. Okay. But that's because I don't really love cabbage, and they put a lot of cabbage.
So much cabbage, and like, I don't eat cabbage, so.
I'm sorry, we're getting sidetracked.
Welcome to the preview of our brains. Sorry.
It was very ADHD central.
It really was.
So when they introduced him, other mm-hmm. than the fact that all I could think about the entire time was tacos, I felt that it was very much, okay, this is Anna, this is Lloyd. Whatever Anna likes, Lloyd's the opposite.
Yes.
And it was it felt like they just listed out Anna's qualities and was like, okay, what's the opposite of that? All right, Lloyd, that's your personality.
Yeah.
I thought.
And then they tried to like make him into a similar version of her,
mm-hmm.
and like have him be almost Jekyll and Hyde.
Yeah.
And I struggled with that a lot because he would put on this huge, like, big persona at work that he was this great, you know, big deal, mm-hmm. and that he thought so highly of himself. Well, realistically, he was like, I'm trying to sabotage my dad's company because yeah. I don't want to be here, and he's taking over my entire life.
I also didn't like that turn of the story.
I agree.
I felt like it was very, well, here's the savior kind of thing. And I'm mm-hmm. like, he's so young. He's so, not that he doesn't have experience there, because he did say he's been there since he was, you know, 15 years old.
Right.
But
what 15-year-old is going to start plotting against their dad?
Right. And also, it made it seem like his dad was failing at the company and he was doing right. everything. Like, Lloyd was going to save the company and he had all these great ideas. And I'm sure he does, you know.
Oh, people, for sure.
Interns can have great ideas all the time that Absolutely. Other people might not think about. But
of course.
I think they kind of painted Topher. Is that the dad's name?
Topher.
I think they kind of painted Topher as like a bad guy when I don't think he really was.
Agreed. He's, I think he was doing the best with what he had, yeah, and he was trying to raise two very strongly minded men.
Yeah. Who, and, you know, grieve his wife at the same time.
Right.
And I don't like the fact that they never really did anything with that either, because one of the main things that what's his name? Lloyd. I kept wanting to call him Topher. Lloyd kept saying is, I miss my dad's smile. I yep. miss that he smiled. He just puts on this corporate persona now where he just like laughs.
Yeah.
And it's his business laugh.
Yeah.
They
never went into like what that grieving process looks like and how mm-hmm. like maybe Topher could have helped his sons get through all of this.
Yeah.
Like if you wanted to have somebody be a savior, like why didn't you have it be like Topher?
Mm-hmm.
being there for his kids.
They really didn't have a lot of interaction.
No.
With Topher.
No.
With
and
the
like,
dad, with his sons.
Yeah, Will barely, like, and I understand, like, part of the thing was that, you know, Will was stepping away from the company and didn't want to be a part of it and all of that, but when he's there, he had zero contact with his father.
Yeah.
Like, I just felt like it was very weird and, like, it was. Forced.
I loved Will. I'm just going to say that.
Will was my favorite character.
Yeah. He
Will was the two stars.
He was. Yeah. I felt like this book, I could have skipped 30 pages and picked up and not have missed a thing.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't feel like there was really much going on. Like, you know, there's like this story where like it has like the introduction, the climax, you know.
Yep.
There wasn't one.
No, I would say maybe the attempt was to have the climax be like
the emails.
Yeah, maybe the emails being released, or like the interns, the day where they all presented what they did for the summer.
Yeah, which they never even said who got a job offer. They never even said what came of that.
I thought they did.
They said that two people were working there, but they didn't say that they got the job offer.
Mm.
I will also say that when the first email showed up, I literally wrote, why would you write email drafts? OMG, I literally can't.
I just thought to myself, I was like, why would you put this on your work computer?
Yes!
That was my thought. Like, maybe that's just, like, corporate America. Like, you don't do anything personal on your work computer.
No.
But, like, never. Exhibit A, why not? Because your emails are going to get leaked to the entire company.
IT can literally see all of your Teams messages.
Yeah.
Like, why wouldn't you just, like, go home and write it on your home email? Or, like,
pull out your diary. Phone,
or, yeah, write it down.
Right, like, are Burn you going to tell me that your only option was to write an email draft to this son of the CEO?
Yeah, no, I couldn't.
There was some mistakes made.
Yeah.
There was just a lot of mistakes made.
Yeah. Anna was, from the first chapter, I was like, she's so rude. Like, I really hope she gets better. She didn't.
No.
But from the second she saw Lloyd, because across the bar, she was like, oh my god, he's so hot. He's looking at me like, ooh. And then she gets, like, distracted, and then he shows up later standing next to her at the bar. And she's immediately rude to him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he hasn't done anything. He just said,
oh, existed.
I'll just help you get a drink. I'll help wave the bartender
And
down.
She's like, what is it, your way of flirting?
Yeah.
Well, clearly it worked, because...
I know, you're talking to him.
Right.
But I...
Well, like, she was. She was so rude. She was rude to her coworker. She was rude to her boss. She was so rude to her mother.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so rude.
Yeah. But I... The fact that she was mad that Lloyd pretended not to know her... Or, like, he didn't remember her. What did you expect him to do? Like, you're standing in front of all of his colleagues.
I was like, oh, what's up, girl I made out with?
Yeah, you want him to drop down on one knee and propose to you right then?
Right, like, what was your thought process?
And then she literally brought it up throughout the entire book after he explained why he did that,
like,
seven
times. I would have also done the same thing. Like, I'm going to pretend I don't know you.
Yeah.
I'm not going to embarrass myself in front of the entire company, especially after what had happened the year prior.
Right.
Like... She just would not let anything go. I don't know. I struggled a lot with her. And, like, there were some, like, cute moments throughout the book. Mm-hmm. Or, like, forced cute moments, I guess, more like it. Like, I wanted to really like them. But I think my favorite scene, I will say, like, this was cute, was, like, them hanging out at the, like, coffee shop.
Yeah, I liked that one.
Yeah.
That was cute.
But that was about as far as I got.
I got to that and I was like, oh, okay. Maybe this is going somewhere.
Right.
No.
Nope. And then we backtracked for the next 45 pages.
Yep. Yep.
It was just, I struggled. Chelsea and I both struggled. We were both saying to each other, like, we just kept falling asleep trying to read it because we just were losing our minds. Actually, I just flipped to something that was really funny. So I'm in a leadership class right now, and our first day, what we had to do was use marshmallows and spaghetti to make a tower.
Oh.
And that's, like, called out in this book, and it was like, my own team is similarly scattered, so I don't feel obligated to spend any particular amount of time with them beyond building a tower of marshmallows and spaghetti as part of a teamwork exercise. And I thought it was so random that I had literally just done that, like, a month ago.
Really?
I had no idea it existed until a month ago. And
I
then
had,
like,
no idea it existed.
Yeah, so, like, you can use, like, tape, rope, spaghetti, and one marshmallow. Like, the marshmallow has to be on the top, and, like, you have to see who can build, like, the tallest tower and stuff with it.
Oh, okay.
It's very difficult.
Yeah.
We were one of like three that were still standing at the
end.
I
feel like that would be better than like, tell me three things about
100%. Because we talked while we did it. And it was great.
Yeah.
It was a good team building exercise.
Hate icebreakers.
So do I.
They're terrible.
Agreed.
Like,
and like, don't get me wrong, I still had to do them. But like, this was better. Like, yeah. So I thought that was kind of funny. I was like, okay, like, I can relate to that because I literally just did that. So I thought that was kind of cute. I have a lot of quotes in here about Tasha being a bitch.
Mm. I will also say to not to Alicia specifically, but to you guys, Alicia spent a lot of time annotating and highlighting in this book. I gave up. I gave up so hard. I was like, no, I don't have time. Like, I just want to get this done. Like, I couldn't stand to read the book anymore. Like I said, I think 2 stars was very generous.
Yeah. Yeah. I did spend a lot of time annotating, but like, I did that because I was so concerned that I was not going to have a single good thing to say about it.
Yeah. I tried really hard to find good things, and I did find one.
Ooh. Okay. I'm ready.
One good thing, which you are not going to agree with me on.
Ooh.
Because I already know. One thing I say quite often, I probably haven't said it to you because I know that you would not agree. One of the best cinematic scenes ever, the baseball scene from Twilight.
I read that and I was dying laughing because, like, you and my friend Lauren, yes, both of you love Twilight.
Yeah.
I don't dislike that scene. I dislike the franchise as a whole. I'm just not a Twilight girly, but that scene was very well done.
It's like,
I do think about it and I can picture it in my head. I have not watched those movies in literally since it came out.
No, it's just amazing.
So when she called that out, I did laugh at that.
Yeah.
What page was that on?
It's on page 249 and it's Dylan, who reminded me a bit of Riddick, not gonna lie.
Same.
He says, they're iconic. The films, at least. I mean, the baseball scene, amazing. Chef's kiss.
Yep. Like,
Dylan.
Yep.
You're my man. Like, I love you.
I can't believe your gran's reading Twilight. Has she watched the films? I didn't ask. I haven't seen them. I haven't read the books either, although I don't really feel the need to now. She practically gave me a TED Talk on it. I literally was like, Chelsea is going to love this. No, I literally read that part and I was like, her and Lauren would love this.
The Twilight movies are objectively bad.
But yeah, they're terrible.
But they are so nostalgic that I love them anyways. They're like the Kissing Booth movie. They're like so bad, but
yeah,
you kind of still watch them anyways.
No. Like, I feel like those are one of your comfort movies.
I think I just watched it so much because I was obsessed with Taylor Lautner.
Valid.
I had like a cardboard cutout of him in my room.
Do you still have it?
I don't, but I do have a Harry Styles one.
Oh, are you putting it in your apartment?
I might have gotten rid of it. It was like in the back of my closet, like folded up.
I'm going to need you to figure that out real fast.
I'll have to try and see. I'll put it in like the window so people think somebody's staring at
it. Perfect. Harry Styles is just in your apartment.
It's like fetus Harry Styles too. It's like baby Harry Styles.
Like One Direction level.
Like, What Makes You Beautiful.
Oh, that's my favorite Harry Styles.
I love the curls.
I love the curls too. All right. I have like 45 pages with absolutely no notes.
I will. This is, I don't know if it's necessarily like a positive thing, but it's something I related to a bit. And I hope none of my family members are listening to this right now because I'm going to call some of them out. But when she's talking about her mom and her relationship with her mom, she says, when I think about her spectacular career, all the exciting things she's done, there's only resentment. And even that has faded to background noise after almost 13 years. At some point, I stopped caring, just like she did. Maybe it's a trait that runs in the family. I really was like, you know what? I'll give you that one, Anna. I'll give you that one because I, too, stopped caring after a while.
Eventually, you have to realize that, like, there are just some things you can control in life and some things you can't.
Mm-hmm.
And your family members and the things that they do and the way that they are is just one thing you cannot control.
Yeah. And
I,
they're not going to change. You can't change them.
Nope.
If it's, like she said, it's been 13 years, you know, the chances of things drastically doing a 180 and like becoming perfect and, you know, your best friends, it's not going to happen. I mean, sure, you could. I mean, think her situation is obviously different.
But right.
There just comes a point where you have to say, okay, you know what? This is how it is.
Mm-hmm.
This is how I'm going to react to it. And you do with that how you will.
Yeah. I mean, you and I have very similar family dynamics.
Yes.
And sometimes it's difficult because
they're your family and you love them and you want them to love you, but they don't.
And well, I think they do in their own way.
They don't
love you and or like love us in the way that maybe we want or need.
Yeah.
But they love us in their own way, even if it's not how we wish
a good way.
Yeah. I mean,
it's more hurtful than it is loving, I feel.
Yeah, it can be. It can be.
And I feel like that's not, I think that's why people tend to, like Anna said, to have that resentment, to like stop caring.
Because it's easier
to stop caring. Protect yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There definitely were some themes of like just hurt and like pain and, mm-hmm. and very difficult emotions throughout the book. Like your parents are supposed to be there to protect you and to love you and to be there through all the hard moments, and when they're not, like that is very difficult. Mm-hmm. And I know that that's something we both experienced. And like, you know, I could see that that was like an underlying theme. It made it relatable.
Yeah.
It made it so that like you can almost understand why she's so cold and why she just decided to not care as much and like stay away from people. Yeah. But if you're trying to have a relationship with somebody, you got to let the walls crumble just a little bit.
Mm-hmm. And you can't be extremely rude to them every time they, you know, glance your direction.
Good God, no.
Yeah.
That poor man.
And let's get, okay, I will give Anna the benefit of the doubt. Lloyd was a little, he had some problems too.
He's
definitely not a perfect character.
No. He was put on a big show at work.
Spoiled.
Very spoiled.
Spoiled brat.
Yeah. Was used to getting what he wanted when he wanted it.
Mm-hmm.
And wanted Anna to just let that go and like let that be a part of their relationship and their weird 6-week situationship, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. It also, I felt it was really weird that he was so secretive about that file when all it really was information that everybody else already had.
Right.
I felt like they were both really terrible communicators. They like could not tell each other a single thing for the life of them.
Which, and, like, I will say, me and my boyfriend at 19, 20, like, we also were terrible communicators.
Yeah.
We were very bad at communicating, especially when it came to like serious things.
Yeah.
Rough.
I think it stood out so much to me because every time they would go to have a serious conversation, something would interrupt.
Yeah.
And then it was like, I'm going to put this in this email draft. And then the email drafts get sent out and posted all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not even going to have a conversation about them?
Right. There was no conversation.
No, like there was she literally told him she loved him in those emails. And he didn't say a word about it.
Nope.
He went to her apartment and was like, let's talk about this. And she was like, okay. And then every other person that was introduced in the book showed up.
Mm-hmm.
And she was just like,
what's up, fam?
Yeah. Come hang out.
It was very weird.
It was. There was
no closure on that big moment.
Right.
I struggled.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
I'm going to say something really mean right now, and I'm very sorry to Beth Rekles, because I'm sure that you're wonderful. I'm sure other people probably love this book. it's not for me. It's not mm-hmm. my preferred writing style.
It's not your cup of tea.
It is not my cup of tea.
I'm so sorry. That's so corny.
This is a shameless plug. We have
some little coffee mugs.
Some coffee mugs that say A Court of Coffee and Books. They're very cute.
We love them.
Yeah.
So anyway, if anyone wants one, let us know. But okay. What was your mean comment? I'm ready.
It kind of felt like ChatGPT wrote it.
You know what? You're not wrong. yeah.
I feel like if you were to plug a template of a romance novel or like a rom-com, like a movie or something, into ChatGPT and say, here, write me a book.
Write me a book that's 300 pages long.
Yep.
This I want it to be as awkward and painful as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that you put lattes in there one time.
There was no character growth.
None whatsoever by anyone other than, I would say, her mom.
Yeah.
And that was forced.
Yep. And the entire time that she's working for this internship, she's talking about how hard she worked, how much it's going to change her life, how she wants it so badly, which is fine and dandy, but mm-hmm. you, not once do you say what you want this internship to do. Where are you?
Right.
What is your aim? What job are you aiming for?
Just to work there? Like, she just, which is it, fine, but.
Yeah, she didn't even say she wanted to work there. She just said it's going to open a lot of doors for her in the future.
Which, like, sure, I guess, like, if it's a well-known company and...
But, like, what doors? What is your goal?
What do you want?
Yes. What is your five-year plan?
To marry Lloyd Stackhouse-Truck.
Oh, yeah. I said, what is Anna's goal? She never really says what she's working so hard to achieve. And then I said, ironic that she resents her mother so much for choosing work over family when Anna continuously pushes people away to focus on work.
I think that's the moral of the story.
Yeah.
That's what you need to know about this book. Like, Anna just pushes everyone away that she possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
It's sad.
Yeah.
But, I mean, she got the guy in the end, I guess, somehow. But that's all I know. I don't know what she's doing for work. I don't know anything.
Nope. Well, but I think it does say what she's doing for work, but I don't.
I feel like she works for her mom or something.
No, I think she said she didn't want to work for her mom because she was like, I don't want CEO. My mom to be my the CEO.
I was dying at that. I
cringed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly, but she did say.
I wasn't interested in having her as my boss as well as my mom.
Yeah. In September, I start a job at a company that works alongside government-sponsored environmental projects.
Yeah. So, like, I mean, good for her.
Yeah.
But.
What?
The very back says, Beth Riegels is the author of the Kissing Booth series, which inspired the Netflix films. She first published The Kissing Booth on Wattpad in 2011 at age 15.
Yeah. Okay.
So she's like close to our age. Right? Help me map that out.
Yeah.
15 years prior to 2011 would be 96, right?
No. Because my sister graduated high school in 2011 and she was born in 94. So she was 18.
So 97. So she's probably the same age as you.
Yeah.
So.
Sorry,
yeah.
Beth.
I'm sorry, girlfriend.
I'm sorry.
Don't use ChatGPT next time. No, I mean, overall, like, it was fine, but I probably won't read anything else by her.
No.
I don't feel like the maturity is there.
Yeah.
And I think it's difficult to write as a teenager when you're no longer one.
I think that would be very difficult for me to write as a 19-year-old 10 years later.
I don't have any want to get inside the brain of teenager.
No.
Like, even that other book that you said you were reading where you were like, I'm so uncomfortable. They're literally, like, 16 years old.
Oh, my God. That was so awkward. I'm trying to remember what it was. I literally, like, left it downstairs because I was not having it.
Yeah. And, like, I feel like there needs to be a certain level of maturity for me to enjoy the book. Not, like, mature content, but, like, brain maturity.
Yeah.
Like personality maturity. Like,
yeah.
You can't be out here acting like, you know, middle school girls fighting in the bathroom.
Right.
And I felt like that's kind of
what this turned into.
Yeah.
Yeah, very much so. Like, there was mean girls and whatever.
Yeah.
But, oh well. Next month will have to be better.
Yeah. Do you want to tell them what we're reading next month?
We are going to read A Study in Drowning next month. It's a book that we picked up 4 or 5 months ago, probably now, at Barnes & Noble when we were together. And it's just been sitting on our TBR. So.
And it's beautiful.
It's one of the prettiest books I've ever seen.
Yeah.
So we're going to read A Study in Drowning. Mm-hmm. And if you guys would like to join along, please do.
Yeah.
And
we'll post every Wednesday, every last Wednesday of the month.
Yep.
So.
Yep. So we'll post the last Wednesday of March and we'll talk about A Study in Drowning.
Yeah. And let's hope it's better.
It has to be.
I have higher hopes for it.
I have higher hopes as well. We are really leaning hard into the romance theme this month, but
yeah, because
we'll get back to our fantasy next month.
We both, and not that we agreed, it wasn't like we were like, oh, let's shake on this, it's a deal. We both had the idea that we were going to take a break from series for this month and just
read some standalones,
standalone romance
kind. Yeah.
Yeah,
I was also in the biggest reading slump after Onyx Storm, so everything. Yeah. I picked up just was not hitting.
It so. Wasn't because Onyx Storm was just so good
there. Yeah, my brain worked a lot for that, so it was nice to just kind of read some standalones this month. But
yeah, and not a lot of world building.
Yeah, just
give your brain a break for a sec.
Yeah, but we'll be back at it next month.
I know.
So cool.
It'll be good.
So we will see you next month, and feel free to leave us some comments and let us know what you think.
Let us know if you read this book, if you agree with anything we said, if you think we're being way too harsh, if you think that ChatGPT could do better than this book. Beth,
we're sorry.
Love you. Hate your writing. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, on that note, friends, we'll see you next month.
Yep. Bye.
Bye.